Welcome, everyone, to our new episode. We have a wonderful guest for you, Bear Cloud, and I'm going to introduce him before we ask Bear Cloud to speak. Bear Cloud is a Native American seer, medicine man, painter, sculptor, author, and elder of the Nai, Yukon Ska, and Lakota traditions. He practices sacred ceremony in an ancient tribal manner. Bear Cloud is also a vision seeker and extraordinary artist. His paintings reflect the shamanic practices of Native American traditions. Bear Cloud does not like to call himself a shaman, as this is not the way elders see themselves. Practicing the sacred medicine ceremony and the rituals of the Sweat Lodge, Bear Cloud makes his sacred ceremonies available to all who come for the right reasons. As a medicine man, he leads people through healing cleanse of the Sweat Lodge and guides them with sacred songs and prayers. He is a true medicine man of the ancient Native American traditions. He has been taught by elders since his youth, and he follows in a sacred manner the teachings of the ancient ways. Furthermore, he is a vision keeper for the ways of a new earth. This is especially seen in his Chameleon Project. The Chameleon Project is a product of 7 years of visions Bear Cloud has received. He has painted many of these visions on huge canvases. Others he has rendered in computer graphics showing the sacred geometry of the symbols that guide us into awakening. Rendering of Bear Cloud's paintings of the Chameleon Pyramid visions are available on this website in websites and articles Bear Cloud has written called the Chameleon Project Beginnings. The Chameleon Pyramids, one of his artistic expressions, are displayed in his beautiful gallery in Sedona, Arizona. As a vision seeker and vision keeper, Bear Cloud is a tribal elder in a new manner. He walks his life and does his work in a sacred manner. Because he is deeply attuned to Great Spirit and Earth Mother, Bear Cloud is a native elder who can be trusted and listened to and has wisdom so deep, as you know, Raz and I know. After meeting him, Bear Cloud's paintings come to him as visions from deep within his spirit. He considers them to be a gift of the universe, the great mystery. He has great concern for seeing the Earth Mother and his people heal. His book, Seven Fires, is the first in a series of awakenings to the language and universal knowledge of the ancient ones. As overseer of the Chameleon Project, he imparts his visions to the world in the form of a nonprofit called Oasis for Humanity. Pardon my little mess ups in there, but Bear Cloud, I hope that, you know, was a beautiful introduction for this amazing human being. So everyone, please welcome Bear Cloud.
Oh, thank you so much.
We're so excited to have you today, Bear Cloud.
It's great to be in your circle here, opening up this door this way. So thank you.
Yes, we are so
magic going on.
Excited.
Oh yes, definitely feeling the magic already.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we would love to hear a little bit about who you are, your cultural upbringing, your experience, beliefs, spirituality, just anything that really shows us who Bear Cloud is and where he gets his magic from.
Yes. Okay. And you're in Sedona, Arizona, as you know, we'll mention. So he has a beautiful energy he's working with already.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know where to start with all this. So, I was originally from Oklahoma. That's where I was born, where I was raised. I grew up with a lot of the traditions and things of this nature. When I was about 5 or 6, I began doing drawings of the Red Rocks in Arizona, in Sedona and things like that. I can't tell you where I got that from at that time. As I've looked back in my past, my logical mind wants to tell me that I must have saw it in some book or, you know, maybe on a poster or something like that somewhere.
Yeah.
My spiritual mind says it was in the wind.
And
I saw it somehow. So I really don't know where that came from, but it's been something that I've painted my entire lifetime until I was guided to actually be here.
That's beautiful.
So Yeah, well, all the red rocks out here tell the stories of spirit, and that's what's most important to me. And, you know, in my paintings, one of the things I like to say is that my belief system, in fact, a lot of people, Native people's belief system is that the stories of the earth, ourselves, spirit, the universe, everything can be found in the earth. And so the old people and many people today in Native way can hear that voice, can see that truth as we're moving around. And I like to put that into my paintings and for other people to see and feel, because it strums a note for them. And they go, oh yeah, I know that. Because they automatically know it and they see it and their spirit resonates with it and connect with it right off. It's just that people have forgotten how to look at those stories and listen to them. And I love bringing that back alive again.
That's so beautiful. That's so, so wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing, because as you're saying that, I feel like I'm almost transported through how maybe seeing even a pale comparison to what you probably see when you look at these spaces. It's so beautiful.
And I think that's really gorgeous, because truly looking at your paintings, I felt like afterwards when I went out into nature, I was seeing these elements more. It's like you almost, your art helps people's minds tune to that vibration of, you know, seeing these different elements in the sky, in the rocks. And it's beautiful. When I was actually driving into, you know, Arizona, I could see the rock people, right? The cloud beings. So when I saw your art and I met Gigi, I didn't know who the artist was. And I saw this beautiful painting and I could not I could not believe it. I was just like, oh my God, this painting is so beyond gorgeous, because it not only reflects what I see in nature, but this person is able to put it into this deep, beautiful symbolism, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, all that's come from me as a seer and a vision seeker. You know, that was part of my mission this lifetime, was to, that's kind of what all this has come forward for, is that because of that ability. And so it's just that it transposed into all my paintings and things like that as I evolved along, you know, so,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I knew when I was 12 years old that this is what I was going to be doing with my life, so.
And it's such a beautiful, mission. It's such a beautiful path. In Punjabi, we call it Dharam, with Dharma, right? It's such a beautiful way of bringing these beautiful cultures and these mysteries alive, because I'm sitting here and I have one of your paintings. I got this one. I wish people could see it. It's so
gorgeous.
Beautiful, and I love looking at it, and it helps me transport to those to those moments as well. And so where did you, so basically we were also wondering, what is the significance of your name as an artist? What's the influence, how does one become Bear Cloud? Who is Bear Cloud?
Even with your vision, right? You said you started at 12. We would love to hear that, all of that. So please go ahead.
You have to be born with it, my way. So.
Wow. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's spirit. I'll only talk about that to a degree, but that's the name I was born with. And one of the ways to understand my name is that and it changes, you know, in the Native way. It's not like the Caucasian way where you just kind of inherit things along the line, although that happens some too, but I come from a clan called the Honka clan. That's the earth clan, and where the bear resides. But also from a clan called the Tisho. The Tisho clan is the sky people clan, and that's where the clouds reside. And so I'm the coming together of the earth and sky.
That's so beautiful.
And so without me even realizing it, it's been in my paintings all along as well, as a part of,
yes,
of that understanding. It's like the universe knew, you know? So
that's so beautiful, because it's like the affinity of the sky and the earth coming together, right? Yeah. It's emergence of all these different energies and and this compound of like this beautiful being, aka you. Here you are.
Yeah. And go ahead, Bear Claude. Yes.
I don't want to cut you off, but no, it's just I'm always painting the polarities like that, the balances that exist, the light and shadow, the sun and moon. And so it reflects all the harmonies that exist. And that's a little bit about even my nation, Nayukunkska. It means children of the middle water. And that's how to translate that. And I always thought it was the best way to walk on the earth as children of the middle water, the place in between, the place of harmony and balance between all things like that. And say between the light and the shadow, the place in between, and say like that. So
the space of neutrality.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the neutral space. That's beautiful that you said that, because it reminds me of, I know one of the elements we really connected on is how Native American culture is so similar to Indian teachings, that like we found that overlap of so much beauty there. So I really love the knowledge you share, because I can really relate to it. Walking that path of neutrality, walking that path in between. And that's kind of like the job of the medicine man, right? Or the medicine woman, right? Walking that path, being able to walk in between worlds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's where everything exists, yet nothing at the same time. So,
yes.
So it's a good one. So
that's the path of life.
And you said, right. Yeah. And you said that like you started these visions at 12. You said it was like at 12 years old that you started seeing these beautiful, and please everyone go to his website and really look at this artwork, because it is gorgeous. You have these beautiful
so profound
artwork. Yeah,
so profound.
And it evokes such magic within you. So I'm just wondering where that vision started. Like, I think you said 12, so I would love for you to expand on that.
Yeah, actually it started when I was about 5.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I've started with drawing pencils, that sort of thing. At that time, I wanted paint, but they wouldn't give me paint at the time. Can't imagine why. So, anyway, I was always drawing it, and I was actually drawing my visions at the time. I didn't see it that way at the time. It was not a part of my circle, because that kind of understanding didn't evolve till much later on, you know. But I was functioning in that pathway, in that doorway all the time, just not really realizing it, actually. Because, see, for me, I thought that everyone had that ability as a seer and a vision seeker. Mm. It wasn't until I got out of school that I realized that other people didn't have it.
That's the best thing. That's what I hear from a lot of very gifted folks. They're like, oh, I just thought everyone had this. I didn't know it was just me. I thought like maybe everyone was seeing this and they just didn't talk about it, right?
It's very true.
And did the elders help you kind of shape that gift up? How did that begin? Like, who was someone who like saw that and was like, okay, we really want to help you expand this, because this is beautiful.
Well, I was just painting the things that were important to me at the time, the things that I like, the things that are important. My folks always supported me in the art field and in artwork, that sort of thing. So I always had that behind me. That was good. And so, the way I learned, and that was my own process, my own thing, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There was really nobody around that really taught me artwork. It's just something that was in all my cells that I just did all the time, no matter what. It's like a new I was supposed to be doing and just kept working. Well, it isn't that I knew what I was supposed to be doing. It's just that I loved doing that. I was constantly working with art and trying to do this and trying to learn everything that I could. You know, I tell the story sometimes that one of my teachers for artwork, anyway, came when I was a younger teenager, somewhere in there, when I walked into an art store to buy some paint. And on the wall was a painting that was about 8 foot by 10 foot with a gold ornate frame going around it that was 1.5 feet thick, you know. And it was the first time that I ever saw an artist actually capture the spirit of the earth in a painting.
And so
I sat and watched it for probably 3 hours that day, you know, and just couldn't get unglued from it. And it was there on display for at least 2 or 3 hours a day, you know, just watching it. Became my mentor. That's who I followed. I've studied his artwork since that time, still do. And he was he was from the Hudson School of Art in the 1860s, and his name was Thomas Moran. And so that's who.
Oh wow, Thomas Moran. I think I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's a pretty famous artist.
Thomas Moran, yes. That's beautiful. And would you say that you almost channel or download these images?
I'll go out and spend a lot of time in the desert to get a vision for a painting. It's my quest and my prayers and my visions and my quest through all this to find stories to tell that are important about the Earth Mother and what's going on. They'll come to me in bits and pieces. I was born, like I say, I was born as a seer and a vision seeker. So because that's part of my mission, it can happen at any moment in time, including in the middle of this conversation.
You know? Wow, that's beautiful.
So,
please, spirit, hit us
please,
with that magic.
It's something to be said that'll spark a vision, and I'll go right into it. I mean, it won't disturb what I'm saying to you, but I'll be able to see it, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Magic. I really want to take that question and lead it into this beautiful painting. So, how is it that you, like, what is it about the pyramids or what is it about these sacred sites that just like that I've seen, you know, your paintings, I was in your gallery, beautiful, beautiful work, which is an understatement. So where is it that you get these, like, I wouldn't even say these like vortexes, like where, like, do you feel called to them? Is this kind of tied in with your vision quest? Like, how does that happen? How are these vortexes significant and all of this?
Well, the one you showed me is actually probably one of my most significant visions that I ever had. It spanned, the paintings of that vision spanned 10 years anyway. And if I do another one, they would have spanned even farther. And I do have other pieces I might paint. And so I call that part of my series, my Strange Visions paintings. And so
I love it.
That is the only vision outside of real earth-oriented type paintings, real landscape, normal landscape paintings that I've ever had. The color's completely different. Everything is completely different about that vision. And so I call it the Chameleon Pyramids. And that vision came to me quite a number of years ago, like almost a couple of decades ago, when I walked in a crop circle over in England. It's in a place called West Kennet Loughborough, which is a very sacred site in England. And I believe that that site goes back about 5,000 years, as I remember, very old. And so next to that, this crop circle had appeared. I call them star glyphs, actually. So here on, I'll call them a star glyph. And I walked out into this star glyph, and it was a series of squares in a field. And as I got out in it, all of a sudden a vision opened up to some pyramid structure somewhere else in our universe. And it was very impactful vision. It was one of the strongest visions I ever had. And I just kind of ripped through every cell in my body when I saw that, and just, holy smokes. And it was the first time that I got verbiage with a story immediately with the same vision. And so wow. It's the only one that's ever done that. And and so I went home and I painted a couple of small paintings of it to capture the essence, the doorway mm-hmm. to it, and another one similar to the one you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sat and the vision kind of taunted me for years, mm-hmm. after that. And so it kept feeling there was something there and something more. And then mm-hmm. about 4 or 5 years later, the vision returned to me. And that's when I started the painting called The Alignment, which is the one you just showed us.
Yes, it's a gorgeous.
You're saying this, I have tears in my eyes and I have goosebumps because England and the pyramids are like two of Raman and I resonate a lot with them. I think Raman and you have had this conversation like before, right? And it's just, it's so beautiful because England, I feel like, is directly linked to Egypt. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because just as history has it, like a lot of the Romans conquered Egypt and then they took stuff to England. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also something to do with the stone circles and the stone people that I feel like connect these spaces, because there's something about Sedona mm-hmm. and the stones that I saw at Avebury.
Yeah, that's right. They're connected.
Mm-hmm. Avebury.
I feel mm-hmm. so connected to the stones between Sedona and Avebury. I've never been to Egypt, but I feel like mm-hmm. I'll get that sense of triangle connection once I travel there too. So well, could you discuss a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm.
That Avebury Stone Circle is a very magical place. It's one of the oldest stone sites in England. It's giant. It's massive.
It's so beautiful.
Massive.
It's like seven miles or something.
It's
gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
West Kennet Loughborough is only about a mile from the Avebury Stone Circle. It's actually a part of the whole thing.
We might have missed it. Or no, Raman, we actually walked alongside of them because you can do like a little pilgrimage, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can walk around them.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you where West Kennet Loughborough is. I'm assuming you're familiar with a land site in England called Silbury Hill. And so it's the largest one.
Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
It's the largest one in the world, I believe.
Yes.
It's across the road from it. Just walking distance, so mm-hmm. just on the other side of the highway out from there. So yeah, right there.
So Raman, we probably did walk past it. Yeah,
we probably did.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not obvious. You would have to really know it's there to even take that journey.
Uh huh.
Advertise it, and so it's hidden.
The same thing with Avebury. It's like no one really points you to these directions, mm-mm. but there are beautiful crop circles in that area. There's these beautiful stone circles, and you've done a lot of this work. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'm ahead of myself. We're saying that you're kind of like an expert on these crop circles, and you've received a lot of downloads from spirit and also actual evidence on crop circles. Could you go over what are crop circles, how they energetically, are supposed to kind of help humanity in some ways, and how they're mm-hmm. causing this awakening into new earth?
Yeah, when I first saw my first crop circle, it was actually on the cover of a book. I'd walk into a local store here, just across the street from where I live, and mm-hmm. on the cover of that magazine were symbols that just about knocked me off my feet when I saw them. I bought the magazine wondering what it was, because I could understand them, but I'd never seen them before. They were completely unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. I discovered not too long after that there were actually aerial views of crop circles in England. So I started mm-hmm. searching it and got connected up over there. And eventually I went there. I had an ability at the time to be able to look into a lot of the crop circles that were having star glyphs mm-hmm. and see symbols inside of them.
Whoops.
Goes out and show other people all these hidden symbols that were inside of. And so They published it in their magazines and their books over there for several years. And so...
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was... it became very significant, and everybody was loving what was hidden inside of those crop circles. It was significant as it kept up explaining what was inside of these magical glyphs that everybody could feel. It was very special. So
it's so interesting because there was this psychic a few years back. I don't know if you remember hearing her name, Sylvia Brown.
I remember that name.
And she actually mentioned that she kind of has a book, and this is from like years ago, and she mentioned that the Stonehenge circle had a couple of significance, like, you know, behind it, that it was a burial ground, that she even mentioned that Merlin, the magician, the alchemist, was a part of the circles too, and so was Arthur, and all of these beautiful things. And I feel like vibrationally that feels like the magic was there, because Rama and I were at Stonehenge, and you know, we were trying to touch the stones, and you know, sometimes they don't let people do that. So we had to sneak past a guard, crawl in the dirt, yes. And we got caught.
Same with the crop circles. You really have to hide.
Yeah. I understand. They get a little bit funny about them over there, don't they? But you're right about the Merlin thing. I can tell you a little bit of what I know about Merlin with that whole story. About 5 miles away, 6-7 miles away from Avebury Stone Circle is a little town called Marlborough.
Yes. We stayed there, Raman.
Yes,
that's
we
where
did.
That very kind family helped us.
Okay, so there's some history in there that's hard to find out unless you talk to the right person. But then behind the university there is another giant mound like Silbury Hill, and it's called Merlin's Mound. And it's very hidden from the public. You can't.
Oh, we're kind of losing you a little bit. Oh, sorry. We were losing you just a little bit, but go ahead. You were saying.
Okay. So in behind the university, you can find it. It's kind of gated off and fenced off and that sort of thing. But they got some at the top of it. Marlborough is a town that's evolved, whose name is evolved over many, many years, like 1,000 years. But originally, the name of the town before it changed was Merlin's Borough.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. We stayed there. We couldn't find an Airbnb, so we slept in our car there. And it was amazing.
Yeah. I stayed there as well. It was a pretty magical little place.
It was magical.
It's magical.
Because I sometimes can be a scaredy cat when I feel too much energy and I'm new to a place. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? But now just talking to you, that makes so much sense, because that town was so profound in our journey while we were there.
It really is. And I remember, because you know, I'm very sensitive to energies too, so when I would close my eyes, I would feel all these nature spirits around, like everything was just like whizzing about in that area. Do you find that, you know, because since you're a beautiful seer and a visionary, you probably feel so much energy moving through you?
It's interesting. Yeah, I can definitely feel all the energy out there. And that part of the world, is everything out there is pretty much world, to Stonehenge, to Avebury Stone Circle. There's other sites all around as well.
Yeah.
You know, so very special ones. And so the whole place out there, I don't know if you went to Southfield into, there's a church over near that area that's a 1200 years old, and you can go inside of it, and if you go in there, there are these boards with a handle on them. You can lift it up, and the church was built in on top of pictographs and petroglyphs.
Wow.
So it's part of the sacred site, you know.
Called Show of the World?
It's called Southfield. It's the name. Southfield. I don't know. Okay. It's in Southfield, the town of Southfield. Easy. It's a very tiny little place. It's you have to, you know, I don't remember the exact name of the church, but you know.
Because I try to, because we were just so excited to go there, and I've always had an affinity towards that part of the world, but then I was just like, no, they're the colonizers, I'm gonna shut it off. So then for years I kind of like, no, but afterwards I was just like really drawn to the stone circles, like you said. And we were in Scotland, so Scotland is just very profound. You feel the same type of magic when you're there too. We went to the stone circles there, and they're dated older than the Egyptian pyramids. Well, than the Giza pyramids and everything.
Yeah, some of those go way back. Yeah, there's a lot of places like that. They exist in Wales too. One of the people connected into the crop circles was from Wales and became a close connection for me. But he took me on a guided.
Oh, did we lose?
Mine the stones for Stonehenge, which is about 200 miles away, as I remember. He told me that he's Welsh. He's part of his family. He's been there for a beginning of time. He said that they knew how they moved those stones for Stonehenge. And so that in the old days, there was bogs and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with this stones that are hundreds of tons, you know, and crushed tree branches, you know, if you put them on it, those are huge, you know, so.
Your expertise, I'm so sorry for cutting you off, but I'm wondering, what do you feel like move those rocks, those, like in your own personal expertise?
He had been researching it his entire life and connecting to those, and which are dolmens are stone sites where there's two stones and one stacked on top of it. It's like a doorway.
Yeah,
very famous. And so he studied all those, and he said the way they moved those stones, it was, he said they just simply went up and they put their hands on the edge of the stone, two people, and there was a sound vibration that they just simply was able to move it with, and pretty much effortlessly.
Beautiful.
Which is why they were able to get it across everything, all the bogs and everything else that was going on. So, that was his story. So.
Mm-hmm. No, that's gorgeous, because that's mainly what I hear too in the research of the, you know, that the sound vibration is what moved these huge rocks into formation or into place.
Yeah.
So in your like research, what are some nuggets of wisdom that you can offer people? Like, what was your main finding in researching the crop circles and the pyramids and connecting Egypt and England and all these sacred sites? Like, what was the takeaway, if there was, right? Because we're always building on that knowledge. It's not like there's a destination to it or it's all sort of figured out. But what were some of your findings, I guess, for...
It was years later that I actually made that discovery after I'd gotten into the crop circles. And so... when I went out to the Midwest and I was doing a presentation out there, and we were gone into a place where there was land sites called mound sites in the United States. I'd only heard of one of them called the Serpent Mound. I'm sure you have too. And so there was taken on a tour, and when I did, we went to the top of some of these mound sites. Well, there was circles and squares, 27 acres in size. You know, and a square and a circle next to it, they were everywhere like that, and all these different sites done different ways. And they were just kind of discarded by most of the people, just kind of, they were there, and to some people a nuisance, so they actually leveled some of them and turned them into fields that they could plant food and stuff like that. But that is a spiritual language that a lot of people don't realize, and it exists in a lot of indigenous cultures. You'll find it in a lot of places. Yes. It's a code, so to speak. It's like 0 and 1 is to the computer. This square and the circle is to the spiritual world.
Wow. So, that's a beautiful way to put it.
It's the balances between the physical and the spiritual. Physical represented by the square, circle is a circle. Its line is that which has no beginning and end. The square being the four corners of the earth, wind, fire, and water of which were made. Mm-hmm. And the old people would put these together in a perfect way to show the balance that exists between those parts. Okay, and they existed for, there's mound sites that go back about 1,000 years before the Great Pyramids. So the same thing, it's the oldest kind of pyramid shaped structures that I'm aware of, you know. And so the crop circles revealed this same language, but it was from the stars. It was a series of circles and squares. It told a whole story, a whole language of spirit that was being gifted to Earth to understand how these special connections happen with us, the Earth, the universe. And that's what a lot of my book has to do with, is explaining those. I kept discovering circles and squares in different ways through all these different crop circles and other symbols, star symbols like five-pointed stars and things like that. And it was long after that I discovered all this that I realized that the mound sites and ancestors were actually using the same language for nearly 6,000 years. Mm. It's just that it wasn't out there. People just thought it was simple circle and square. They didn't think anything of it.
It was a journey in itself to discover that this is all connected. And that's what I feel like gritting is, right? Like when you're gritting spaces, like I feel like, you know, Raman and I, whenever we go to a place, we realize this very similarities of the land along with the beautiful differences that make it unique, like Sedona, right? Beautiful. Like it literally, I sometimes, for some reason, I kept telling Raman, I feel like I am in like a temple. Like it looks like temples. Like it looks like I would be in the middle of like maybe Indonesia and I would see the, like, you know, similar temples and rock structures. Mm-hmm. But then you have to notice the beautiful vortex that the uniqueness it brings in. So I think that you're doing such a beautiful job of like, well, you discovered it, right? Like you went on your journey and you discovered, hey,
reading the language.
Reading those languages became important. It was also in England where all of a sudden the doorway opened up quite by accident, or maybe I should say very synchronistically. They opened up one of the pyramids in Egypt. I was asked by an English friend of mine to actually look at a book with Egyptian pyramids in them. Sorry to shift off on this, but it's kind of related to what you were. There was these circles and squares that I started seeing inside of those. That was also the same language that was a part of my people. That was a part of the star glyphs that were tying it all together, that the ancient Egyptians had this same language hidden inside the pyramids. And I was able to look into that and see those hidden symbols inside of it. And that's one reason why I published the book, Seven Fires, was to show those secrets that were there.
This is chilling.
Amazing.
If you look closely, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, it's okay.
If you look closely at, I've had the Buddhist sand painters here in Sedona. It was a part of a circle as well. If you look at those type of images as well, you'll see sequences of squares and circles tied together in a unique way through colored sand. They're quite magical and mystical drawings done by the ancient people over there, showing the same thing, the same square. Done in the same sort of fashion. So it's the ancient people know all about it and brought it forward and have passed it down. And that's what's become important to me is understanding mm-hmm. this language. And it was just immensely important. The world out here doesn't see it. They just see it as a circle and a square.
Yeah, they isolate them. They yeah. isolate these yeah. beautiful things, mm-hmm. but it's like, what's the common ground? We're mm-hmm. all on Mother Earth, mm-hmm. right? Like yes. we're all connected. We are, our cultures, our languages, they all intersect, yeah. you know, and it's just so beautiful. So from your experience, how, I know that Ramin has mentioned that, that you've traveled, like you've traveled in between these sites. How does this travel work? Like if you want to share your experiences.
Spiritually traveling?
Yeah. What kind of travel?
So yes. So
like the Chameleon Pyramids and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. So I wanted to really get to the gist of the Chameleon Pyramids and like how you've mentioned that like you have spiritually traveled and like kind of jumped timelines when it came to this.
I wasn't really actually trying to do that when that actually happened. Although when I look into my history of it, I can see how my efforts was compelling it into that direction. Just not in my formal vision of you. And mm-hmm. so I see that there's three ways you can get to any of these places. And one of them is astral projection, another is bilocation, and another is teleporting. Mm-hmm. And so all three of those are pathways. At this point in time, we don't have the physical way of the Chameleon Pyramids. You know, that's 52 billion light years from Earth.
Yes.
And so one day maybe. And so,
yeah.
Yes, one day, hopefully.
And I just want to mention, go ahead, Bear Claude. Yes.
I was just going to say that the Chameleon Pyramids has a same. I discovered after the last discovery I made that it possessed the same sequence of circles and squares that I had been finding everywhere else. That wow. it was almost wow. like a voice that had come from the deepest parts of the universe, reaching mm-hmm. Earth through a language, a spiritual language that was being compelled from the Chameleon Pyramids. Because the mm-hmm. Chameleon Pyramids is actually a fractal geometry. And so it's forever in motion and forever moving outward. So it's very magical that way. So we're actually receiving that right here on Earth all the time.
And so, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's how I connected to your paintings too. Because when I saw the pyramids, especially the Chameleon Project pyramids, like there was something that I literally felt like my DNA, like my spiritual DNA shifting, my physical body shifting. As I was seeing that, and it was such an odd experience because I felt like I've been there. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was such a bizarre moment. Mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. I've seen this, or I felt the vibration mm-hmm. of it mm-hmm. yeah. to the point, like I felt such a deep resonance in my bones about it. Mm-hmm. And I think I heard you say what at that time when I had you guide me through it, mm-hmm. that you feel in some sense that, you know, our ancient sort of humans were able to tune into that vibration mm-hmm. of the Chameleon Pyramids yeah. in mm-hmm. some ways. They were able to bilocate and bring that technology here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can tell you a little bit of that story because it came with the first visions of the Chameleon Pyramids. And the story goes is that they didn't know how their ancient ancestors were able to build this superstructure. That it was mm-hmm. made of a stone harder than diamonds. And that uh-huh. The smallest of the pyramids that you showed in the drawing was only about the same size as the smallest pyramid is about the same size as the Great Pyramid on the Giza Plateau. Built mm-hmm. in this sacred place because of those three columns in this that you see around them. Mm-hmm. Those are like a mile high and you can go all the way to the top of that, one of the waterfalls. And what makes the Chameleon Pyramids important is the stone that it's made of. I call it chameleon stone mm-hmm. because it has the ability to shift to colors it's surrounded by or energy it's surrounded by. Somebody mm-hmm. going by on a nearby road might not even see it because the pyramid structure, because it'll start blending in with the sky on the ground like a mirage. It's almost like a ghosting thing going on with it.
Like a desert mirage, right? Yes. Like you used it perfectly.
Yeah, and so its value is that when you stand near the chameleon stone, it shifts to the colors in your auric field. And there are those who understand how color works with their inner energy.
Mm-hmm.
Stand near the stone, it'll reflect your color. And if you understand how this color works with the energy, you can make shifts in your energy pattern. And there are those who can make huge advancements very quickly by how the stone reflects back their color. Very, very magical that way.
I'm looking in the drawing, and it looks like as if the smaller pyramids are almost not that they're small, that they're underground, that they go all the way down the ground.
There may be something like that, but that smaller one is actually the size of the Great Pyramid.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really huge. And so the center one that you're looking at, the big one, is 7 times the height of the Great Pyramid. It's like massive, super huge. And so
do you feel with your, I feel like maybe your attunement, do you feel like maybe that the pyramid structures go deep into the ground by any chance?
There may be, because I believe there's a truth, even, you know, there's a symbolic truth. It's in Native way. A symbol, an ancient Native symbol called the God's Eye. It's 2 triangles face to base, and it's like the shape of a diamond on a playing card. That symbol, I believe, exists with the pyramids and probably the pyramids there as well. Whether it evolves through physically, I'm not sure, but possibly. And also the same is true with the pyramids in Egypt, possibly. connecting that way. So, the God's Eye is a symbol of balance. It's an ancient shamanic symbol. I wish I had a drawing that I could show you of it. It's the best way to describe it is like 2 triangles like that, base to base. And so the symbol, one way to understand it, and it's dangerous to define a symbol because it brings it to its ultimate limitation. Okay, it's all symbols are infinite from there. The understanding is just to connect to it and feel the energy of it, you know. But one way to understand that God's Eye is that is that the old shamanic people knew that if you could create the balance that exists between the polarities of day and night, light and shadow, male, female, all these energies like that, then it opened up the door to the unseen and the unknown worlds. So for 8,000 years, it's been a symbol of the ability to see into the invisible. And so it's a seer's symbol. And that's why I'm so connected to it. So
that's wonderful. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for explaining that to us. Yes. Because that's so profound, especially I feel like connected to the... No, of course.
Yeah. Are you totally okay?
Fine. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so I feel like it's so profoundly connected to these sacred sites as well, because these symbols, they come to us for a reason, you know, and we have an affinity towards them for a reason, and they help raise our vibration as well.
Yes. But
like you said.
And that's the beautiful thing is, there, you know, we can write essays and essays upon it, but it's like an energetic shift that happens, right? And the thing is, we're trying to explain these things, but you kind of, I think what you're trying to say is you feel it within your heart and soul and then translate it, right? Mm-hmm. And even then we can't completely define what it is, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, that's very important. And so, the chameleon pyramids, one of the discoveries I made in Caffrey's pyramid is a sequence of symbols that energetically are like what you're talking about there. It's a sequence of symbols that creates an energy form. It's a sequence of circles and squares tied together, 7 of them, that is like a chord on a piano where you're playing 7 notes at the same time. It's a light vibration that carries an energy behind it created by the way that was set up. The Chameleon Pyramids has that same signature as symbols. And so what's happening is, you know, it's hard to explain in a nutshell in this moment, but the overview of what's happening is that the Chameleon Pyramids is forever sending this, its spiritual energies and connections to the universe forever to Earth. And Gaffray's Pyramid is forever receiving that. And they have the same signature of symbols and are absolutely connected all the time. So those energies are coming out and moving out on the wave airways of Earth. And the people who can read energy can pick up on that sometimes. They may not know it's coming from the Chameleon Pyramids because it will seem like Gaffray's, but it's forever coming into there, you know. So, you know, very, very important. So.
Right. Bearclaw, I had another question about the pyramids. Okay. A few months back, I think that's why I have such a deep resonance with your art, is because afterwards I started getting these dreams specific to the pyramids, where I felt like I had bilocated there, you know, in some way. And I didn't even know how or when, but I just felt like this shift in my third eye and a deep connection with my heart. And I was already there. And it took me to this, to a water near the pyramids where there were dolphins and whales and these beautiful sea animals. Do you think the sea creatures or those who are connected deeply with water can easily transport us there, like their vibrations and like the animals here on Earth? Because I felt like the dolphins and the whales were able to take me into that space even faster. It was so beautiful. I don't even know how that happened, but that's how my vision was.
I think everybody has their different path with spirit and different connections in different way. That's also an infinite road, infinite understanding, and it depends on your resonance and how you connect to all that. And sure, I think that many of these things can help us teleport or move energy because they can reaches so deeply spiritually if you're connected in that way, and those things can happen like that, you know. So I think that can very much happen like that.
Yeah. So mostly people have different pathways of getting there and their own connection to spirit. Yeah. So how do you find yourself in that space, like through your art?
What happened for me with the pyramids is a friend of mine in England had shown me a book and wanted me to look at the book. It had Egyptian stuff in it, and I said, I've never even cracked a book on Egypt. I've never anything with Egypt, you know? And so I had no knowledge at it whatsoever. And so, but she said, no, I want you to see if you see, go through these Egyptian books. Is there anything Native American in it? And I said, well, saying that there was a connection there. And then when she crossed some of the images of one of the pyramids called the Bent Pyramid, I looked at that and it really hit me deeply as I realized, I says, oh my, what is that? It said, it's, you know, the common thing is that it's a pyramid made in error, that it was like, the first authentic pyramid, and of course, the people who are researching the pyramids believe that it was going to be massive, bigger than the Great Pyramid, and that got to a certain altitude, they truncated the top and bent it in because they were concerned about it caving in, and so that was the general consensus of their report. But in actuality, when I saw it, I realized it was a hidden symbol over the top of the that is like the compass of the Freemasons, or what I call the wing symbol, that draws the circle that goes around the square of the pyramid and the circle that goes inside the pyramid. Those two are ethereal because they're representing spirit. So
that's
magical.
That's very magical. That's so interesting because you mentioned that you hadn't looked into Egypt or any of that. I feel like I've always had a very deep resonance with Egypt. Like I think I was in like third or fourth grade. I was like maybe like 7 or 8 years old, where I was just like, oh my God, I've been there. Like, I was like, okay, I've been there. I got this, like, I would look at the hieroglyphics and just like, just keep looking at them, looking at the pyramids, looking at all of these things. And I remember as a child, I looked at the pyramid and I was like, oh, I've lived there, like in the pyramid itself. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've come across where someone, like, I know that they say, oh, no, 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 the pyramids were for the dead. You know, we buried the dead in them. But I think they were actually living spaces, because that's how I just remember living in the pyramid itself, mm-hmm. and it having levels.
Well, maybe that's very much the truth and all that, you know. So, but the one thing I can tell you about the pyramids is that they weren't tombs. And so
they were tombs.
Yeah, so
that's
they were
accurate.
Although that's what all the archaeologists will tell you. Mm-hmm. But and I believe those were used quite often for different reasons and possibly living in it as well. They were mm-hmm. also used for ceremony, like a sweat lodge would be used and things like mm-hmm. that. Okay. And so, and the different chambers also could be used in a manner of connecting to the earth, to the sky, or the place of balance in between the queen.
Exactly. Chamber.
Okay. And so, one of the discoveries I made through a series of visions is why the pyramids were built the way they were. And mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons why I published the book, Seven Fires, is because this vision that came my way, that they're actually a star language and that reveal universal truths, because geometry is the only language that is truly understood that goes beyond any spoken language anywhere in the universe.
Everyone understands it, like all these cultures.
A circle and a square is circle and a square, whether you maybe name it differently, but a circle and a square is the same thing. Chinese, to you guys, to native, to anybody, you know?
So, to everyone knows that the pyramid, the circle, and the square are all the same.
They're all the same, yeah. That's right. So
that's beautiful. So you think that you, go ahead, Bear Cloud, please finish your,
No, it's just that each of the pyramids was built completely separately, completely differently, with a completely different star language. Ooh. And they were built in sequence too, from the beginning. I believe that the pyramids were planned from the very first one to expand 200 years probably by the time the last ones are completed, if that mm-hmm. language is understood correctly. So 200 years, and so 6 of them altogether, 5 of them. So
wow, that's magical. Beautiful. So that's like very magical, because we are just obsessed with the pyramids and the pyramid structures. We're obsessed with crop circles, and you're like, it's so beautiful how mm-hmm. you've tied all of this together. Because mm-hmm. in some ways, I feel like these symbols and these circles, the square, the triangle, is here to share an energetic with us. I feel like they pull energy in from someplace that we can't access, but it's trying to raise the vibration of Earth Mother and help heal her, because there's some wounds happening. So especially with what's happening on our planet right now, I think it's so important. And that's why I think you're so important to, like, you know, to really, really help us dive into this, the importance of these energetic structures, because they can help us. They can help us shift.
Yes, they're related. Khafre's pyramid, which is the middle one on the Giza Plateau, I discovered that it was made of a sequence of circles and squares that is called the squared circle. Mm-hmm. And it's where the two pieces of geometry are placed on top of each other. They look like they don't really fit, but the mm-hmm. area of one is the same as the area of the other, or the perimeter is the same as, mm-hmm. same as the perimeter of another. But I discovered that pyramid is actually based on that energy. And so the archaeologists knew that any time they saw the squared circle come out of Egypt somewhere, they knew that the ancient mystics were involved. Mm-hmm. And so, because that's the squared circle is a mystic circle. And so that carries a very important relationship to balance and symmetry that you don't find any other kind of way. And so it's very quite magical the way that that pyramid was built and the hidden symbology inside of it. But it's almost as if you have to first learn what the bent pyramid was about. Then the next one after that, which was the red pyramid. The next one after that was Cheops and the Great Pyramid. Then you're ready for Khafre's pyramid. It's all set up in a sequence. And so,
yeah, you have to unlock those levels within yourself. And Ramin, I think you're messing with your hair a little bit, the feedback.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of have to learn, you know, like you have to unlock each level, each mystery. And as we're almost around our time, but I would love to hear about your Chameleon Project, what your mission is, what this is about, and how, just like how we can all kind of tune into this.
Well, the Chameleon Project was a vision that had come to me quite a number of years ago to build a structure that it's evolved in it the way it appears since the origin, but basically a pyramid structure that is massive structure made of glass with a series of gardens beneath it that has all of these ancient symbols in it, weaved into the patterns with flowers, huge, like, you know, 20 feet across, 50 feet, you know, different sizes of ancient symbols. And it was a place for people to go to just connect. They could actually use the pyramid structure in its energy that's being created because of the structure itself. The garden symbols which you connect to at the same time, all are awakenings of energy that a person can relate to and understand and connect with when they want. It's a place of contemplation, a place of just connection to spirit. You know, maybe mom is trying to work out something with the kids and she might go to this place and to just connect it to create a connection. Maybe a mathematician is trying to sort out an image of something that he's working on discovery, or maybe an artist is working towards a vision of a painting and need the place of solitude and connection. Just could help that open up more. So that's it's a place for people to get away to and to just connect and back into the old earth energies. Because there's really no place for that here. People go outside and they go on hikes, but it's not the same thing.
The sacredness is lacking. The sacredness and the
ritual. And the ritual. Yeah. Like, you know how you go into a ritual, you have so much reverence. The reverence is kind of sometimes like we as a society, as an American society, we don't have reverence for connecting with the land like the way that we used to.
Mm-hmm. In the ancient ways that you speak of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's why a lot of indigenous people, even from all over the world, are stepping forward with the ancient ways, because that is the awakening understanding, the basic format of our connection to everything is coming through in old indigenous ways. And so,
exactly. And it's not new age at all, right? It's very old age.
It's old age. Yeah. That's
really it is old. That's why I think it's like now's the time for these ancient traditions to step up, you know, and really like allow people to speak on the frontiers about these issues, because we've gone in the old way for too long, or not in the old way, but in this American society, in the Western world, we're destroying the planet right now. We're destroying each other right now. And we need our ancient wisdom from ancient cultures and traditions here in the now. And I think this pyramid structure you speak about, the Chameleon Project, how beautiful would that be to have an eco-village with that, or to have mm-hmm. a community surrounded by that, and that become the epicenter of, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. Of just living. So yeah. that's a beautiful vision that I definitely want to support you on, and I hope mm-hmm. our viewers and our listeners can support you on, because this is science. This is science. Yeah. You know, we're talking about geometry here. We're talking mm-hmm. about physics. We're talking about energy. And mm-hmm. this is all, you can feel it. You can feel it. And if you have been inside a sacred space or inside a sacred site, you can mm-hmm. feel the energy pulsating, the healing happening within that. Earth Mother speaking you to you through yeah. that. So yeah, having right. a structure that Bear Cloud speaks of, that's gathering the Earth's energy, respecting mm-hmm. our ancestors, respecting mm-hmm. the indigenous way. And how can you not be rewarded in those spaces, right? Yeah. How can you not feel mm-hmm. the energy?
And I wanted to add something in, just because I love the concept of returning back to indigenous ways, especially for this country itself, right? Given the current climate and the condition, we need to honor the natives that were here. Yeah, honestly, we pay reverence. Like, thank you even just for having this dialogue with us, because of your ancestors, Bear Cloud, we are here. Yeah. And the beautiful, like, just the sharing of this land, even though people were not trying to share it and they were mm-hmm. trying to colonize it and extract it away, but I feel like the land is crying out for that acknowledgement to say mm-hmm. no, I'm not yours, but yeah. you can be here, but I'm not yours, and to pay mm-hmm. reverence to the land and to the original yeah. land keepers,
mm-hmm. the yeah. guardians. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You're good.
No, I was just going to say there's a lot of Native people on the forefront that are actually trying to help out in those kind of ways, you know, help everybody on the planet through ceremonies and different things like that. So there is an effort for that to come forward. And it's also no mistake that we're going through what we're going through right now either. And so that the planet's sick as well. So it's another one where people need to remember that, you know, there was a reason for that, you know. And so
right.
not sure how many people will see it that way, but, you know, but it's what's true. So,
mm-hmm. But these conversations really help, you know. And I think that's, it's beautiful the way Raz put it too, of we really honor you and, you know, we really want to honor the ancestors of this land, because there's so much wisdom in the Native tradition about this. Like this is literally the key. If we are looking for a key, this is the key to unlock mm-hmm. a healthy earth, a healthy humans, right? Mm-hmm. Right. To unlock yeah. that health and well-being, mm-hmm. to return to these ways, to honor the guardians, you know, mm-hmm. of this land, especially because mm-hmm. even our ancestors aren't from this land.
No, yeah,
so,
that's fine.
So my reverence goes mm-hmm. even deeper mm-hmm. to the mm-hmm. fact that the guardians have held the land in such a beauty where I could even be here. And now yes. we don't honor those land keepers anymore. And look at the imbalance.
And yeah, we're,
you know.
One of the things I can tell you is that in the cities especially, the concrete separates people from spirit. And so what's yes. happening, because that separation is happening, it causes things to speed up really fast and the energy gets overlooked, you know. And so it's traveling at a pace that's hard for people to connect anymore. So mm-hmm. Hopefully that there's some doorway where some awakenings can happen to find pathways to connect, since that's happening, you know. So mm-hmm. yeah.
And, no, that's beautiful.
And so I'd like to ask you one last question before we close up. And that would be, what wisdom, with just this last conversation that we had, do you have to offer folks out right now in 2020, given all the stuff that's happening, how taking into account how to pay reverence to the land, how to stand grounded in yourself, how to just connect with the land? Like what sources of wisdom can you share mm-hmm. with us?
Well,
humbly,
people will I've seen this happen quite a few times. I want to do something. I want to connect. I want to reach out. I want to do something. I need to find a connection into this somehow. You know, things like that going on. And I can tell you that one of the ways that that this happens constantly for Native people connecting is by a gift. One gifts something to the earth. One gives something to spirit, whether it be smoke, whether it be a little piece of crumbled tobacco, whether it's a stone. Giving back something, it says that if you want spirit to help, give spirit something. And yes. tell them thank you for your help. Thank you for what you've done for me. Give something back and then spirit will help. So.
Oh, yes.
So that's the best way. You don't even have to be anywhere. But
that's beautiful.
In a sacred place can be very magical.
That's so magical. Thank you, Bear Cloud.
Thank you.
And that's what we would like to share with our viewers, too, is that we are so honored to have this beautiful guest, Bear Cloud, teach us these ways and remind us. These are all reminders to how to step into ourselves and how to use these beautiful sacred sites and nature to help raise our own collective consciousness. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to say that, you know, one of the practices Raz and I have is, you know, the first thing people do when they go to sacred sites is pull out their phones and start clicking and taking photos. And you're not even walking with consciousness into the spaces. So
yeah, you're just, you know,
so one of the ways to honor the land is, you know, I've seen Bear Cloud do this, you know, like walking even with you when you would walk around. You feel the space. You feel the space before you enter it. Mm-hmm. So when you go into nature, you know, don't just think, oh, this is just some rock I can climb, right? Yeah. And this is just some picture I can put on the internet and get, you know, all this attention for. Mm-hmm. Walk into these spaces with reverence. And what Raz and I do is every time we've gone to these sacred sites, just as, you know, Bear Cloud wonderfully has discussed, is we take stones with us. We take a rose quartz. We'll take tiger's eye. And and we'll offer the land some stones. Mm-hmm. We'll offer the lands a prayer. We'll offer the land a song, a dance. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it's beautiful, because no one told us these things but our ancestors, right?
Yeah.
And I would remember how my grandmother would enter these spaces and how my grandfather would enter these spaces. And so we started doing this and we realized the land starts talking to you. The rocks start talking to you. The sky starts talking to you. You know, your soul starts emanating in that space and you start seeing people for the beautiful souls that they are. So that's one, you know, beautiful thing I would like to leave our listeners with is, you know, please tune in and respect the elders and hear the native wisdom and connect with, you know, the land that they're on and the guardians of that land. And every time you go to these sacred sites, respect, you know, these sites and offer them the tobacco, the smoke, the dance, the prayer. It's very, very important.
Absolutely.
Just as you've heard Bear Cloud talk about, because the land is really talking to us. And if you're not listening, it's just the voice is going to get louder and louder and louder and louder. The energy is going to build and build and build. And yeah, so Bear Cloud, would you like to add anything else? Anything that your heart desires?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. No, what just came to mind is, as you were saying some of those things, is that it would be nice if people went out and just take a moment to look out across the land and ask themselves, is the Earth Mother okay? Right now. Put their energy into noticing that and those connections and to help whatever is needed to what they feel is in that energy circle when they look at that. So
is the Earth Mother okay? I love that. Is she okay? How are you feeling? Right? Just like anybody, any person you would ask.
Yeah,
that's treat her as that energy. Treat her as the mother. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's why that's why she is called the Earth Mother, is because
Earth Mother.
She's so close. She's so closely related to us that we see her as a mother. And so, And that's most beautiful. Important. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Bear Cloud, we would love to have you on for other conversations if you're ever feeling like you would like to share anything.
Awesome.
We would love to have you as a reoccurring guest. Yes. And if people have questions, if we have, you know, if Bear Cloud has time and space, because we know he's also very busy and
he's a busy person.
Busy person. But if you guys have questions, you know, and if Bear Cloud is open, we would love to have you on, you know, for future appearances, because I think there's just so much here to unfold and unpack that we could never probably fit into an hour and a half. But definitely please check out Bear Cloud's book, Seven Fires, and his website. We will link everything in our bio, in Bear Cloud's bio, that we'll have on Spotify, Apple, and Anchor. So you can access these resources anywhere you are. And he has a beautiful gallery in Sedona, Arizona. So please check that out.
Yes,
if you're ever in that area, it's gorgeous, gorgeous. You know, just tucked away in the perfect little location. And, you know, Bear Cloud is usually in the shop. And I had the pleasure of having him guide me through all of his work. And he's just that humble, you guys. Like, he's done so much work, but so humble. Such a wisdom keeper. Like, you will feel the magic in his presence. So please check out his shop. His artwork is for sale as well. So Raz, when you bought a piece.
Yes, I love it. And one thing that I can say about Bear Cloud is when you're talking to him, you're talking to all of his ancestors too. And that's how I feel when I'm looking at him right now. I feel like the power of many, many grandmothers and grandfathers behind him.
And we are so honored.
Thank you for having me a part of your circle. And it's been a pretty magical time. So it's just like very, very beautiful, very magical. So thank you. Wow.
We are so honored. And Bear Cloud, would you?
Yes.
And would you like to guide us out with a prayer or something that, you know, we can end this with at all, or we can end it too, closing out this circle for now?
Maybe what I really kind of wish I had was my drum here to do a little ascending song. And so if you can give me like 1 second, I'll grab that.
Yeah, of course. For sure. Yes. Yeah.
So.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have Bear Cloud playing the beautiful drums.
I'm so honored.
Okay. Yes.
So.
We'll mute ourselves.
This song remembers the beginning of the circle, and it remembers the end of the circle, and it remembers the circle that has no beginning and end.
Thank you. That was just so divine. I have tears in my eyes and down my face. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And with that, we say goodbye, our friends. Until next time, namaste. And thank you, Bear Cloud.
Aho.
Thank you.
Thank you.